Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin today a two-Sunday message. As we enter into the beginning of the church year, September is always the beginning of the church year after coming off of summer. And this year, with the agenda going on in the world, it's been a little longer that ministries have been closed down. I just want to read one verse out of Ephesians chapter 4. We know this to be the verse in verse 11 that talks about the fivefold ministry, the purpose of the fivefold ministry. But on verse 16, would you read with me? It says, "From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, it grows and builds itself up in love." Here's the key: as each part does its work. As each part does its work. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again for filling us with your Spirit, qualifying us to be filled as you removed our sin, as you made us holy and allowed holiness to fill us. I want to say thank you for that. I want to thank you that because you dwell inside of us, you have opened up our hearts and our minds. We are able to think all day long that you are not only with us, but in us. We're able to hear your voice. We're able to see where you're working. We're able to sense your presence. We're able to understand Scripture. God, because of you, you have made us aliens in this world. And we want to say thank you. I thank you that you have prepared every heart and every mind for what is going to be sown here today. And Father, I recognize really clearly that all of the power of flesh and hell and the world is going to rise up against what's going to be shared, because it always does. It is always counter to your word. It is always counter to your will. And I pray today that would be an evidence that what is going forth is from you. I release a grace today over those who are going to bristle with what is shared, that, Father, your grace would allow them to recognize this is you, this is your word, this is your voice, and instead of it changing for them, that they will be open to be changed by you. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession again? My mind, my mouth, every part of me, I invite you to flow through me to say your words. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic entity and every demonic bird that would keep the seeds from being heard and from going deep. And I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building. We believe this word will not return void. In the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody believing said, amen. It was probably about 13 or 14 years ago when the Holy Spirit began speaking to me in this church. Hard to believe that Jane and I have been in Camrose, in Solid Rock, for almost 27 years now. I just want you to know that as you are in a place for a period of time, that you don't ever arrive. I heard a pastor say one time, he said, all a young person needs to do is surrender themselves to ministry, and it gives God permission to break them, to change them, to heal them, to deliver them, to do all of this stuff to get them ready for ministry. And believe me, that is really true. But just because a person enters ministry doesn't mean they're healthy and mature. Can I say that to you? There are some of us pastors who haven't arrived yet. So halfway through the ministry into Solid Rock here, the Lord laid upon my heart and gave me a revelation that I was a very dysfunctional spiritual parent, and that I needed to change. Because it was not the family or the kids who were the problem, it was the spiritual head who was the problem. Now, those of you who have had children, we love to make it our children's responsibility when they do wrong. Because then we're free and clear. But what you end up finding out is that the immature blame and the mature take responsibility. I'm of the opinion that if young people end up in jail, their parents should go with them. That's my opinion. I will likely never be voted prime minister. Can I just say that to you? So just so you're free, my name is not on the ballot of the conservative leadership today, as it is being chosen and going forward. I invite you to be praying about that, but you will not find my name on there. And after today, you'll know a whole bunch more reasons why not. I got to tell you what happened to me. It was halfway into our ministry here, probably 13, maybe 16 years ago, somewhere along there. The Lord began revealing to me that I had been empowering a dysfunctional pattern inside the church. And I was doing that in the church because I had done that in our home. Now, I know what I'm going to share with you is going to be hard to believe because many of you think that when I came out of the womb, I came out perfect. Okay? Let me just shatter that for you today. Okay, this is, yes. If you need any truth, just chat with my wife, would you? She will ground it very quickly. But I want to tell you the pattern that I kind of grew up with and the pattern that I moved into as a young dad in our home. And I can tell you literally how this worked. We would finish our work week Monday to Friday. We would work Saturday was the day that we took off when we had kids. Sunday was church ministry. But Saturday was the day off. So Saturday morning, we would get up, and I would look at the kids, and I'd say, guys, what do you want to do today? Oh, I want to go biking, and oh, I'd like to go swimming, and oh, I'd like to go to the park, and oh, I'd like to do those things. And I go, that would be awesome. Dad's home. We can do all that. And I would grab my three kids, and we would head off, and we would be gone all morning. We'd come back. We'd expect Jane to have lunch ready, and then we'd head out again for the afternoon, and we'd come back at supper time and expect supper to be ready, and didn't really think about the fact that Jane wasn't with us. Okay, don't judge me because you did it. But the thinking was that I would take the kids, we'd go off and do things. Never thought about the fact that Jane on Saturday then stayed home, was able to vacuum, was able to wash the floor, was able to do dishes, do laundry, do all the things that needed to be done that she wasn't able to do all week long because the kids looking after kind of takes up some of that. We get home at 5 o'clock and we had an awesome day and we're sitting down and having the supper that she prepared and then it's like, what are we going to do this evening? And she's like, I'm going to bed. I'm tired. What I realized a little bit late, but it kind of came, is that I empowered dysfunction in our home. In fact, what I empowered was what's called the 80-20 rule. That 20% of the family does 80% of the work, and 80% of the family does 20% of the work. When I headed out with the kids on Saturday morning, 80% of our household walked out the door and left 20% to do 80% or more of the responsibility of looking after our home. And what God revealed to me is I had brought that dysfunctional pattern into the church. That somehow I was totally fine with 20% of the people in the church family doing 80% of the work, burning out, being over-responsible, always doing whatever, while 80% just came in and ate and fed and worshiped and walked out and didn't have to think about doing a single thing. They kind of had the mentality that this is a movie theater. Somebody will clean up before you. Someone will clean up after you. Someone will take your ticket. You walk in, be entertained. You walk out and don't once think about all that goes into making that environment what it should be. I want to ask you a very personal question. I want to ask how many of you have ever in your life experienced what you would call burnout because you have been over-responsible for irresponsible people? Just raise your hand, would you? About two-thirds. Well, when God revealed to me that I had empowered the dysfunction of 80-20 in this family, I had allowed this family to become a movie theater. Where people walked in, we wanted them to be friendly, we wanted to be comfortable, we wanted to be social, we wanted to have coffee, whatever, and began realizing that people walked in, left all their garbage on the floor, people couldn't care less how their chairs were, they never thought about cleaning the toilet even though they used them, they never thought once about what goes into making a family work. I empowered 80% to do 20% or less in this family. I empowered them to be users, irresponsible users, while I allowed 20% who had a heart to give, a heart to serve, to take on way more than they should have, and to begin burning out. The 80-20 rule was a dysfunction that had to be broken in me before it was broken in this family. I want to tell you, have you ever heard a pastor preach a series where a whole pile of the people are going, I don't like that. I don't want to change. You flip and think that I'm going to pick up a brush and wash a toilet? Who do you think you are? I will never forget, and I'm so thankful that Cassandra is here today somewhere. Are they still here or did they go? They got an attitude, but she was here. I will never forget in this whole series, and I talked about breaking the dysfunction of the 80-20 and moving us into the 100-100 principle, where 100% of the family is 100% responsible for the family. And I will never forget one day when Cassandra got up to the front, she stood here, she took a mic, and she said, this is very simple to grasp. She goes, my mom said, if you use it, you clean it. Can I tell you the words of a young lady? This is before she was married. This is before she had kids. She stood up, and her words were like a rebuke to especially some of the older, the more mature, the more 20% who enjoyed the movie theater mentality. A young girl's words, God used those words to slap gently an attitude of dysfunction. I want to give you a picture that God gave me. This week I'm going to give you one picture. Next week I'm going to give you something a little more graphic because the Bible lays out some incredibly graphic pictures when it comes to how this works. I would like five women and five men. Right now you've got 30 seconds to come to the front and stand behind the chairs. You've got 30 seconds. Five. Just go. If you don't come, I'm pointing you out. So five men, five women. One more woman, three men, two men, one woman, one more man. Seth, awesome. Oh, we need one more. One more. No. Two, four, six, eight, ten. One more man. One more man. Gord, awesome. Can you guys just take your chairs and spread a little farther apart? Because on live video, as this goes out, and if we don't honor the distancing, we get feedback, and so we just want to honor that. We're not anal, but we do want to honor. This is the image that the Lord gave me. Don't sit down, Ione. I'll get you up. I will. There's always one in the family in there. This is the image. The Apostle Paul made the statement, he said, the body functions properly when every member of the body is doing its part. That means it's dysfunctional if only a few are doing their part and a whole bunch aren't doing their part. He goes, that would be dysfunctional. That would be immature. That would be irresponsible. Now, I want to say this to you because the truth is, for some of you, you were raised this way. You were allowed to be this in your church. It was empowered. when we began talking about the 100-100, you had some changing in your heart to do as well. Some of you online, you're going to bristle at this because you have enjoyed the movie theater church your whole life. Well, time to come in line with the Word of God. I'd like every one of you to pick up your chair. I want you to look right now, when you take 10 chairs and you spread them over 10 people, is there any person right now that you look at and go, they're really laboring, really struggling, they are over-responsible? Is there anyone right now you could look at and see that? Okay, for the sake of time, put all your chairs down. I would like Dennis and Betty, if you would put your chairs on Ione. Gordon and TJ, would you put your chairs on Ione? Linda, would you put your chair on Seth? Judy, Gord, would you put your chairs on Seth? That's what you get for sitting down, Ione. Stay standing up there. I want you to look at what is empowered in the vast majority of churches and organizations, secular. I don't really care about those. What I care about is the health of the body. I want you to look at what is empowered in the vast majority of the families of God on earth. The 80-20 rule means that 80% of the people are irresponsible in not carrying the weight of the family, and they transfer that. This is an amazing servant heart. There are people in the church, it doesn't matter what rises up, they will go, I just want to serve the Lord. And they put their hand up and praise God for them. Because the vast majority of the church would not function if it wasn't for the 20%. But as a spiritual parent to empower that, I did. And I had to repent, and I had to undo what I had done. And in doing so, some of the 80% went, are you kidding? I'm going to go find another movie theater. That's okay. Go! I would like Ione and Seth to pick up your chairs. There's always one. But I want you to look here. I want you to look. I want you to look at the posture. Don't pick it up, I own. Don't. I want you to look at the posture of the 20% who is carrying four times the amount he should. This physical posture is what happens to many in the body of Christ who are carrying more than they should because the 80% are irresponsible. They've been empowered to walk in and walk out and do nothing. Gord, what are you doing? You can put it down, Seth. Thank you, Gord. Could I just tell you? We look at Ione and we laugh and say, Ione, could you pick up those five chairs? And she pulls the one. But can I tell you, if a spiritual parent was dysfunctional, an Ione in the spirit and in the family would end up doing five times more than she should. That's the servant giving heart behind this lady. You got to get it branded inside of you that in the body of Christ, the enemy is powerfully at work to steal, kill, and destroy. And what I want you to see is this. There is blessing in being used by God in the most minor way. In fact, Jesus said this. He goes, if you give someone a cup of cold water, there's a blessing that lands on you. Now, can I ask you a question? How many years of Bible school do you need to give a cup of cold water? How many years of seminary do you need to give a cup of cold water? How many years in the ministry do you need to give a cup of cold water? What Jesus is saying is the minorest of things in the kingdom of God release blessing to the person who does it. What the Lord showed me is when I empowered these people to do more than they should and burn out, the enemy was going, I'm stealing from Betty. Because the 80% who do nothing, they are robbed of the blessing of God using them to give a cup of cold water or sweep a floor or stand and greet at the door or cut the lawn. There is a blessing that is being robbed by that in the body of Christ. And can I say, the body of Christ is being stolen from majorly in North America. Do you know why? Because leadership has empowered these guys to burn out. and to leave the movie theater mentality with the 80%. They walk in, they litter the floor, leave their cup, leave their popcorn, leave their whatever, and they walk out. Not a single thought that somebody is going to come and have to look after that to bring it into pristine shape for next week. Do you know why? Because we all walk out of the theater, and here's all the 15 and 16-year-olds standing there with their brooms, and we look and go, yeah, that's the way it is in the church. There's somebody like that who does that. I can be totally irresponsible because someone else is going to be responsible for me. Guess who empowers that? Guess who empowered my children to be irresponsible on a Saturday morning to leave 80% on Jane? Guess who empowered that? And guess who had to change it in our home, and guess who had to change it in this family? Me. Can you give these guys a hand? Thank you, guys. Nope, we can leave them right there. I would like you this morning, Gene, if I could have you hand out to all the people in this section. Ken, could I have you hand out in that section? Gord, can I have you hand out in this section? David, can I have you hand out? Thank you, brother. I would like, as we do every September, going into September, Lord laid on my heart to go through and to highlight and profile all of the ministries that take place in this church, to cause this church to be able to do what it does, the family, to be able to experience and enjoy what we do. I want to say this before I begin. I want to say bless you to this body because I am not preaching to an 80-20 body. As a result of what the Holy Spirit did as 14, 15 years ago, we broke from the 80-20. We have had the goal of 100-100 for about 13, 14 years now. Those who were opposed to that have left our church and found another movie theater. But those who have come to this church have recognized that when you're part of the family, like Cassandra said, if you use it, you clean it. I just want to say to you, when Jane and I were in Hawaii for one of our anniversary trips, we ended up at a church, we ended up talking to the pastors, we enjoy doing that when we go. We found out that in one of the large churches in Hawaii, that anybody who wants to be involved in any area of ministry before they can do anything from leadership level, from council, from deacons, from elders, before you can do anything in the church, you need to volunteer for a 6-month period of time on bathroom duty. They have come to the place of believing that unless you can humble yourself and begin at the lowest level, you are not qualified in ministry anywhere. There are some people who go, if you put me in this position, I'll do that. But something behind the scenes, something up, forget it. Either give me glory or you're not having me. And they will go, that's exactly what we want to flush out. We want to flush out the heart behind you before you enter into any area of ministry. Let me just set you free really quickly. We don't have that policy here yet. But when we heard that, it was like, wow. And we're talking about a big church with big ministries that want to make sure that their people have the right heart, the right servant mentality, the right humility stepping in leadership. I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to begin today. I'm not going to finish. I'm going to begin today, and I want to just go over and profile the areas of ministry. These sheets you are able to keep, and we will have them on the back counter for those who are not here today and will be coming, because over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I want to invite you not to check anything off today, because what I do want to ask you to do is I want you to pray and just say, Father, where is it that you want me to serve? Some of you could check your name off on every one of these. Some of you are the 20% who would go, I can do this, and I love doing this. I don't want you to do that. I want you to take time and think. I want you to take time and pray. I want you to be Spirit-led on where you place yourself in this body as a member of this family and go, you know what? I want to serve the Lord in this area. God, where do you want me to be? So I don't want you to check anything today. But I do want to begin going over this so that you are aware of all that goes on inside of this body to make this family function the way Paul said, when every member is doing its part, it functions with maturity. Like I said, next week I'm going to give you another image. How many of you have ever flown in an airplane? How many of you? How many of you have never flown an airplane? How many of you? Raise your hand high. How many? One, two, three, four. And you're right, Wayne is five. We had two guys in men's group who had never flown an airplane yesterday. Those of you who've flown an airplane, you know that it is not the pilot who gets you to point A to point B. You know that when you walk into the building, there is a plethora of people, from those who meet you, the baggage, all the way security, all the way from one end to the other. There is a plethora of people who get you from point A to point B. If you think it's the pilot or if you think it's the pastor, you're deceived. It is never a single pastor that pilots a church plane. I want to begin sharing with you what makes this plane fly. First one is this: greeter and gatekeeper. Now, I just want to say, because of the agenda that's going on in the world, and we are going to be encountering more things that are going to be released in this agenda, just, we're going to talk about this later. We're aware already of what's going to be released in September. There's more coming. We know 2021, there's going to be more coming. Okay, the agenda has things laid out. So it's not like this is going to disappear. It's not like whatever. We have to learn to work within it, and we'll do that. God has given us the grace. All we have to do is be led by Him. But in the midst of this agenda, we've had to change some things. Before this period of time, you know that every Sunday when you walked in the door, we had a beautiful couple that was the first face you saw walking in this door who greeted you, who were able to give you a hug, able to welcome you here. That after you walked out through the door, you are greeted by somebody in this area who handed you a bulletin. If you had a question about where the washroom was or where the coats were or any other question, they were able to show you and take you where you're going. I want to tell you, we take that for granted. But I want you to understand, a greeter is not just a greeter. They are also a gatekeeper. You need to realize the people who are at those doors are people who prayed over every person who walked in the door. A person who is very aware of the spirits attached to those people walking in the door. People who had authority to shut stuff down when people were walking in here. We just take for granted that when people come in, there's going to be no interruption in freedom. Have you ever been in a service where there has been demonic interruption? Have you ever been in one? Just raise your hand. Yeah, we've been in one. We've had some. We've had services where demonic stuff manifest and had to address it right in the middle of the service. Our gatekeepers are people, they greet. That is the outward face. The inward, if you could see what's going on, they're praying, they're warring, they're covering, they're delivering, they're cleaning stuff up as we walk into this building, making you feel like you're welcome and you're warm and greeted, but there's spiritual stuff that's happening. That has changed in the midst of this. 3 months, you're aware, we were brought down to 15 people. Because of that, we were under 15 every Sunday. We complied. Our heart, you need to know, our heart in every area is to comply. Until they ask us to compromise our faith, until they make it that something in the Bible is can't do it, I'll stand at that point. I'll stand. When 15 people, we came in, we distanced, we projected online. Nobody greeted you. When it opened up to 50, we had to have someone who at the door who was partly greeter, but partly said, "Got to squirt you." How many of you had your temperature taken when you walked in the door? How many of you? The rest of you didn't show up. For a period of time, we had to take your external temperature every time coming in the door. Even still today, now, our greeter is a person who sits at the door. Jane has done it for a long time in the beginning because she's the familiar, authoritative face. You'll now begin to see other people begin going. They sit there. They're not hugging you. They're saying, "Here's a squirt. And if you don't want to be a squirt, you need to go wash. And if you don't want to squirt or wash, you need to go home." I don't agree, but that's the way it is. Small thing to comply with in order for us to have the freedom to worship. I'll talk about that a little at the end. But still, going into September, somebody who's at the door, somebody who is making sure compliance, somebody who is welcoming you, but someone who is praying over every person who walks in the door before they come into this building. Can you imagine if we left Jane doing that for a whole year? She was the only one at the door every time she would do that. You know what? Some churches do that. And the reality is, the majority of the church would be totally fine with someone else doing it. The thought of them sitting there, the thought of them coming early, the thought of them having to pray and war and be there and greet and do, for a lot of people, never crosses their mind because they love showing up 5 minutes late. Nobody in the movie theater, although in the movie theater they do. If you walk in late, somebody's going to go, "Hey, sit down." Can you imagine if we did that in the church? I've often thought if you really want a movie theater mentality, we should do that. Let somebody's phone go off in a movie theater. What happens? Hey, we are so stinking gracious in the church. Let somebody's phone go off in the church. We should be at the movie theater. Everybody turn and go, "Turn your phone off!" Wait, why don't we do that in the church? Oh, we're way too nice. But I'm just thinking, you want it to be a movie theater? Let's make it a movie theater. Somebody takes out their phone, they start texting in a movie theater. What happens? What happens? You want a movie theater? Huh? No, I have to. I have to. No, I got to do that. When the pressure's inside the tire, you got to get it out. I want you to pray about that, because right now, whether it's in the agenda or whether this disappears, and it may never do that, we are required to have someone at the door, whether by law or not by law, in order to greet and welcome, in order to have prayer people. It requires those who are there. We walk past, we say hi, we don't even think about it. We just walk in and we walk out and take it for granted. Let me tell you, it is a very specific ministry in this body. I want to say thank you to those who have been on that rotation list. You've been on there, some of you for years, some of you were fresh at that before all of this agenda came about. But I want you to be aware that that is a ministry that requires a part of the body, not just 20%, but 100%. That is part of where the body functions in this church. Let me just tell you again, in compliance, and you saw it this morning, it is now come out, and it was before, but it's come out again because there has been some major breakouts in churches in Alberta. There's been some major breakouts in prayer gatherings in Alberta. And so because of that, churches are being highlighted. The enemy would love nothing more than the freedom we enjoy here today to be shut down. Jane and I were talking about that this morning. That's the last thing we want to be shut down in this church. So I'll tell you, for me, two things that we're doing. One is we need to, when every person walks in the church, we need to just write down the name so that if anything did break out, they have the name of all the people who are here. That's just what they do for people to be aware, to get checked. We have to do that to comply. We're going to do that. The other thing is, too, you're going to find me hugging less. Because I'm not about to have our church close because of the fact that I love to hug and the freedom to hug and love the relationship and do all of that when God laid it upon my heart to hug people because he would hug people. That changed my life. But we're in a season right now where I'm going to love you from a little bit of a distance. And I have to change. I'm probably going to fail in this area because most of you, when I see you, I'm just going to run and hug you and then you're going to have to go, "Call!" But I want to tell you, I don't want to be a part of churches in Alberta having to shut down again because things are breaking out. I don't want to be a part of that. I would rather us be alive and distance, even though I don't agree with a pile of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I would like you to pray about the position of greeter, gatekeeper. I'd like you to pray about that. Second one. And I just want you to know none of these are in order. There is no highest to lowest. The area of communion. How many of you have ever taken communion in this church? How many of you know it just didn't happen on its own? Yep. How many of you just went, "Gee, that's awesome, it's always there"? Yeah, appreciate the one. This is an area that we are very conscious of, and I'll tell you where a shift happened, because we used to have communion once a month, the last Sunday of the month. We still do. We're the entire body. That'll be next Sunday. But when the Lord spoke to us a number of years ago and said, you know, there are people who come to church and they miss the last one, or there's people who come to church and they want to receive communion every Sunday. Again, I'll just remind you, Jane and I, our heart at home, sometimes we miss it, but our heart is for us as a couple to have communion every day. We've learned the power of it, especially in these days. We're having communion every day. But when it comes to the church, when the Lord laid on our heart for us to make communion available, and over in the corner, communion's available, even in the midst of all that's going on, we've taken precautions. You know the bread is in the bag. You know that the cups are separated. There's more cups there than there were before. We're making an effort in order to comply. But I want you to understand, all that did was increase the responsibility load of those in the communion ministry. There are those who come every Sunday, not just one Sunday a month, every Sunday they come in. They're on a list, they're responsible, they put it all together, they get it up, they stick it in the front. After it's all done at the end of the service, you're going to see today, there's going to be someone who goes to the front, take it all back, tear it all apart, put it together. Doesn't cross the mind of 99% of people who enjoy communion, doesn't cross the mind that, oh, somebody did this and made it happen. But it does. It's behind the scene. It's a ministry that allows this body to enjoy the power and the presence of God in communion. And it requires a team to do that. I just want to say bless you for those of you who've been a part of that. Bless you, Dennis and Lane, who've overseen that ministry. Put it together. Make sure all the supplies are there. Training the people who are doing it. I want you to pray about whether or not that is an area as part of the 100-100 that God wants you to be and go, you know what? I want to serve in that way. I enjoy it. I appreciate it. I use it on a weekly basis. Why not say, God, here I am. Use me to be a blessing in the lives of other people. Want to ask you just off, really, how many of you are beginning to have communion in your homes throughout the week, not just church, in your homes? Good. My prayer is we'll get to a point where every one of us in our homes, that we are having communion. You are a priest. Okay, the Word of God says that. We have authority to take the Word, to take the body, to take the blood, and to receive it. I encourage you to begin doing that more and more. There is such spiritual power behind that. Communion. Would you look at the next one? Street evangelism. How many of you have ever done street evangelism? Raise your hands really high. Awesome. How many of you have never done it? How many of you will never do it? Only two of you. God looks and goes, I can change that. If I can raise the dead. I got to tell you, as praying through this list this year, this is a brand new one that has been on there, but I'll tell you, and we're going to be talking about this, God has given us a heart for our Jerusalem. He's been stirring that up. He's been calling us to begin reaching our community. Street evangelism is something that has been done forever and needs to be done forever, but it's not something we've ever done in this church. This is one of these things that the vast majority of us would have to be trained in. We would have to practice it. We'd have to get rid of all the insecurity and all the fear and all the inadequacy going, I don't think I could ever walk up to someone and just begin a conversation and talk to them about Jesus, let alone lead them to the Lord or pray with them on the sidewalk. I don't think I could do that. That's where we all begin. Do you remember a guy by the name of Moses? Moses was bold enough to go, God, you got the wrong guy. And it's amazing how many people quote scripture in the church. Evangelism comes out and you go, Pastor, you got the wrong guy. That's biblical. Not quite. But I want to tell you, waiting on the Lord is saying, you know what? There needs to be some feet to the prayer. God, give us a heart to reach. How many of you have been part of the wide distribution somewhere in Canada? How many of you have been part of that? In cameras here or somewhere else? Yeah, a pile of us. We stepped out, we went onto streets, we went to doors, we confronted people, they confronted us, we went out there. That is probably the softest evangelism that we've ever done. But to take it the next step and for us to go into our Jerusalem, where someone knows our face, where we work with them, when they see us out there and go, oh, are you a JW? And we go, no, I'm sorry that you believe they're the only ones who do this, and we're responsible for the fact that you believe they're the only ones who do this, because up until now, they're the only ones who've done this. But from now on, they're not going to be the only ones who've done this, because there's a church rising up to do what the JWs have always done, but they're going to do it for the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of, you know what I'm saying? Do you want me to say that again? I couldn't. In every area of ministry, we're going to talk about what it requires is for the individual to be trained. Even when it comes to giving someone a cup of cold water, there is training in that, because just to give it randomly without hearing from the Spirit of God would cause you to do something in disobedience. It requires training. Just like with our children to learn how to vacuum, they required training. Just when we taught them how to wash eggs, it required training. Just when it came to making their bed, it required training. Just when it came to loading the dishwasher, it required training. This is not new. We've all done this with our children, or should have, but in the body of Christ, somehow this slips away. Let me tell you, in all these areas, there will be training. For some people who have never walked out on the street, who have never shared their faith, who have never been so desperate going, God, I'm shaking, I can't do this. And he goes, you're right, you can't, but I'm with you and I do it all the time. The Spirit of God is already preparing some of you, already preparing some of you to step out in this area and begin doing what you've never done. Do you know why? Because your heart is, God, use me. Grow my faith. Pluck out of me the fear of man's opinion. I want you to pray about that one. Because going into the fall, we're going to open up that door, we're going to do training, and we're going to provide opportunity for that to happen. Would you look at media? This is an area that we've been doing for ever. How many of you remember the days when we had the transparencies with that little glass thing? How many of you remember those days? Yep. How many of you predate that, where all you had was a little bifold booklet that had all the praise and worship songs, and it was like we sang one song and, okay, let's turn to page 21 now. Get to page 21 and this is really, okay, let's turn to page 1 and that was our worship set. Do you remember that? How many of you remember that? Yeah, praise God. Praise God we're not there anymore, right? We've taken steps. Media is something that is now an integral part of the body. Isn't it awesome that we can project all the words on the screen without having to flip the hymnal, without having to flip this, without having to do the transparency? We did all those. There was an evolution in this. But media is a key area. You're all aware of some of my sermons. I will shoot up video. It just doesn't happen. Some of my sermons, I give them notes. The first thing they do is go, God, give me interpretation of what he wrote. That's the first thing they do. You want to grow spiritually? Be on media. Just pray through my sermon notes, would you? But media is integral. Just want to ask you one really dumb question. How many of you have a computer? Another dumb question. How many of you have one and don't know how to use it? No. I'm not talking about using all of it. How many of you have it and don't know how to turn it on? No, not Ron. Not how many of you have your wife have it and I don't know how to turn it on. No, I didn't ask that, Ron. Thank you for your honesty, though. I love that about you. It's beautiful. I want you to think again. This is an area that requires training. This is an area that is integral. There are people up there, I'll tell you, this is one of those areas, and you've done it, we've all done it. We're in the middle of a praise and worship song, and the person behind gets distracted, and the song moves on, and the old words are there. Right? Do you know what everybody does in the church? That's why this is one of those things where I think every one of us should be on media so that we can get what it feels like when the entire body is looking your direction. But I want you to pray about this area. It's incredible how many people have computers and how many people know how to use computers in the minutest way. And yet when they think about media, they go, oh, I couldn't do that. And it's not about media. It's about stepping into something that they've never done before. I want to tell you really quickly. I grew up in a farm. When we got married, we lived in the city the entire time, in Edmonton, 10 years, came out to Camrose. We were living at Camrose here. We began recognizing when we took our kids out to my mom and dad's farm, our kids changed. I mean, they were totally different on the farm. We brought them back, put them in our backyard, and it was like they were in a dog pen. It just, even to the point where Jane, being raised in the city, never knowing the country, looked at the difference in our kids and went, you know what? I'm a city girl, but we need to have our kids on the farm. 3 years we began looking. We moved out to the acreage. But can I tell you, we looked at about 20 or 25 different houses over that three-year period of time. When the Lord led us, we came in the paper. Jane saw it in the paper on a Tuesday. We phoned up the realtor. We said, we'll meet you out there at 5:30. We drove out there. That evening, we looked at it. We saw it. We just knew that was the place. We put an offer that was above what they were asking. That next day, we got a phone call and said, yes, you got the offer. The moment we were accepted, I was absolutely hit with fear. I was hit with a fear that wanted me to back out of the deal and stay living in the comfort of town. Do you know why? Because there was a pile of things that I knew would happen on the acreage that I didn't know how to do. What happened if the septic shut down? I was raised on the farm, but my dad did the 80%. He didn't train me in septic. And I'm not alone. How many of you in the farm were trained septic by your dads? Just raise your hand, would you? Yeah, all four of us. How many of you use the toilet? Can I just ask you, raise your hand? Okay, you use it without not knowing how it works. But I'm telling you, we had a pressure pump with a bladder. Isn't that weird? We had a breaker box that was outside, a breaker box that was in the garage, a breaker box that was in our pig barn, and a breaker box that was in our trailer. I'm telling you, I was literally hit with fear. And the fear was because there was a pile of things I would encounter out there that I had no knowledge of. The unknown filled me with fear. Guess what I did? Phoned my dad. I phoned my dad a pile of times. But I'll tell you what I did. Because I've been hit with fear, just like you have a pile of different times. When fear hits me, I don't run away from God. I run to Him. I ran to God and I said, God, what do I do? Do you know how we say one word from the Lord changes everything? You know, that's not a bumper sticker. That's reality. I went to the Lord and I said, God, what do I do? I am totally filled, paralyzed. This is what we've been praying for, believing for. We've been looking for 3 years. What do I do, God? The Lord said, call. I can empower you to learn anything. That word changed my life. Fear just broke off like this. And I went, oh yeah. I got 24 years of school behind me. You've empowered me to learn a few different things. Now I can learn acreage. And believe me, I've had to learn acreage. Last week I got a phone call. My daughter-in-law texted our son. My son texted and phoned me, said, Dad, we got no water. In the old days, it would have filled me with fear. Because of that one word from the Lord, there was no fear. It's like, okay, son, I know you guys need water. You guys have little kids. You guys are cooking. There needs to be all this stuff. I will do what I need to. I'll be home as soon as I can. Got home, all the way home, I'm praying in tongues. Right? You do that. I'm, because I had no idea. Seriously, I had no idea. I knew which building to look in, but that's about as far as it went. I go in there, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to lead me. I'm going, looking at the pumping system, the whole deal. I pull the panel off. I see all the wires are in place. We had that issue some time ago. So once you have an issue and you had to fix it, you learn something. Every time you break, you learn something, right? Most of us smart ones would learn ahead of time. I learn. Anyway, don't go there. So I go, Holy Spirit, what's going on here? I look at this. This is working fine. I see this. This is okay. Narrows it down. How many of you know what a pressure switch is? How many of you know? Pressure switch. Pressure switch. How many of you have no flipping clue what a pressure switch is? Yep. Me neither, up until Tuesday. Realized the pressure switch had died, shorted itself out, burned out. Now, for those of you who know what a pressure switch is, there's about 1,900 wires that go into that sucker. Coming out of the ground, coming out of the chlorine thing, coming out of the pressure pump, coming out of... How many of you have a background in electrical? How many of you are like me, have no clue? No clue. Yeah, no clue. Oh, thank you, Ron. You are so encouraging. So I look at the presser switch. I phone somebody who knows about these things, and he helped me to narrow it down. And it's like, oh, you just need to go to PV and get this thing. I go, oh, that'd be great. Okay. And I'm praying in tongues again. Long story. I phone PV. I say, you got these things? They go, oh, yeah. I go to PV. They got none. When are you going to have them? Well, we might have it tomorrow in a truck, but if not, next week. I go, great. We'll be without water for a week and one day. I go in the parking lot. I'm still praying in the spirit. Believe me, I'm still praying. So the Lord lays my heart, phone Rona. No, we don't carry that kind of thing. I phone Duncan. I said, Duncan, you're Faye. Do you guys carry those things? He goes, yeah, I think we do, but we're closed. No, I appreciate your honesty. I had a few choice words over you, but I bless you, Duncan. That's what I said. But I asked him a question. I said, is there anybody who does 24-hour at UFA? He goes, no. I go, okay, God, what do I do? So I'm thinking, literally, I'm thinking, I'm praying. I'm not smart enough. I just learned what a pressure switch is, let alone changing one. How many of you changed one, by the way? Oh, man. Could you just write down their names, Jane? So I'm praying. The Lord lays my heart and said, why don't you phone Home Hardware? Okay, I just came. My thinking was, Home Hardware, they're into lumber. They're not going to have pre-. I phoned, and the guy says, oh, just let me have a look. Yeah, we got four of them. First thing I said is, thank you, Jesus. He's working on my behalf. I go over there. I walk in. Some of you will know what I'm saying. Some of you have no clue. I go look at the pressure switches. Here's a pressure switch male and a pressure switch female. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Wow, we narrowed this down really quickly, didn't we? I'm looking at the counter. I'm going, male and female, this is not a washroom. So guess what I have to do? I got to buy a male and a female. I guess they come in pairs. That's what Noah said. They come in pairs, right? You just buy them, you take them. So I phone Jane and I say, Jane, I got to press the switch. She goes, oh, great. What are you going to do with it? I go, I don't know. I am praying because I have an image in my mind of 1,900 wires that are going into this sucker that I've never done before. Seriously, I'm praying. I go in. I go get the tools I need. I thought I did. I had to go back to the garage like 5 times to get the tools that I really needed, right? Because I didn't know what I needed until I got to the point where I needed it. I don't have that one. I got to go get it. Man, I did not have to do my exercise that night. I got it. Putting a little flipping pressure switch in. Sucker cost $23, but do you know how many calories I burned doing that? But anyway. So I start taking this thing apart. Okay, and can I just tell you, I don't think that I'm a slow person. I don't see myself as slow. I don't think I'm dumb. I think I have a fairly good memory. I got into the point where I took the second wire off and it just hit me. It's like, if you don't draw this out, you're not going to remember how to do this. Now, can I just say to you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you listen. So I stopped after the second wire. I walked back to my house again. There's more calories. I went and got my notepad and my pen. I came back over and I began drawing out the diet. Some of you are laughing because you've done it. Either that or you didn't do it and you wish you would have. Oh, where's the Holy Spirit when I need him? If you'd have really been led by the Lord, you'd have phoned me right then and say, hey, Carl, I'm coming over. Oh, Jesus, he needs to hear your voice. Oh, hallelujah. I go back in. I'm telling you, I sat down there, took my pad. I drew this thing out. It was an amazing schematic thing, right? The G was for green. W is for white. You know that. B is for black. I learned that watching Arnold when he wired the kitchen. He comes over and he's got all these wires coming down. I mean, the guy knew what he was doing. I learned something even when I wasn't looking. Don't say it, Harold. Don't say it. Don't say it. Harold said, did I shut the power off? Yeah, my hair used to be curly. Is that what you're saying, Harold? Is that what you... Did I shut the power off? Yeah, I was born at night, but not last night, Harold. Thank you. Thank you for that, really. I drew out the schematic. I do. I brought it in the house. I was going to show Jane. Jane was busy. I threw it in the garbage and threw it away. You never did see it, did you? She probably went, hey, there he is, praying in tongues again. They're all over the place. I drew my schematic, and then I started taking off my third wire, right? Then I got to undo the clips, pull all the wire out, take the whole thing off. I found out that I needed a female. That's what I needed. I took the male back the next day. Screwed it all off, put it back on again. Took my diagram. Believe me, the diagram is needed. Put it all back together. I was praying the entire time because when you got it all back and you put the cover on, I went to the breaker box, Harold. I appreciate your confidence in me, but I shut it off ahead of time. I went to the breaker box. And that is? Oh, yes. Okay. So I may have missed a step here, okay? I forgot about that. So when I unscrewed the pressure switch, right? The pressure switch, the thing goes into the water line coming in, and I unscrewed it, all of a sudden it starts shooting water out, right? Why is that, Harold? I'm sure I had to shut the water off somehow, but I didn't know how to do that. So I screwed it back on. I made a phone call and said, Jane, could you come out of the garage and help me? She goes, sure. She came out. She says, what do you need me to do? I said, I need you to hold your thumb over this thing while I change the whole compartment. Seriously. Yes. Yeah, it's a little crampy. Yeah. Yeah. So really... Yeah, thank you, Jane. Okay. Thank you, Jane. We got the picture. Thank you. Okay. So all she's really saying, if we were newlyweds, that close comfort would have been no problem, right? When you've been married 35 years, she wants more space. We won't go there. So she came. I had her sit on the egg carton, the egg crate that I had right there. I screwed it off and I put my thumb on. I said, Jane, now work your way over here. I'm going to take my thumb off. Put your thumb on. Yeah, this is highly technical, guys. This is really... Literally, she slid in, she put her thumb on. I said, I'll try and be as fast as I can. How long was it?
I don't know, but I had to change hands several times.
Yeah, she did. We had time to order pizza. It came. I didn't. I took it apart, okay, put it back together again, doped it all up with the stuff, okay? Doped it up with the stuff, you guys, put the white stuff on. I said, Jane, let me move your hand again. She moved her hand, I put my thumb on, I went over, I screwed it back on, the water stopped. Okay, I got that on. Thank you for that part, Jane. That would have been so good without it. But anyway, what's that? Back off, Gord. But anyway, got it all wired up, got the cap on, went over the breaker box. I'm praying, because I'll tell you, there was like a pile of things could have gone wrong and you've never done this before. This would have filled me with fear. This did fill me with fear before we moved out there. This is going, God, you told me. I went and I hit the breaker. I go back in. The pump is going. The pressure's going up. I phone Malachi. He goes, Dad, we got water. Awesome. It's been 100%. Before that period of time, the unknown would have filled me with fear. It did fill me with fear. When I take God's hand and he walks me through it, believe me, even a pressure switch doesn't move me anymore. All of that to say, the media. Some of you even forgot why I got in the story, didn't you? All of this was about media ministry in the church. But I want to say this. This applies to every area on that list. When I finish it next week, every area are going to be areas you've never been in, you've never done it before. You have been in movie theater churches your entire life. Somehow you've been allowed to slip through and be part of the 80 who does 20 or nothing. That day is changing. To quote Cassandra, you use it, you clean it. Every one of these areas are outside of our knowledge. It is our responsibility, the fivefold ministry, to teach and to train, equip, to put a person into place so that this family 100% function, that this body is mature. I'll just say this straight up, and especially for those of you watching on the internet. If you want to be in a place that's a movie theater, Solid Rock is probably not the place to come to. And I'll just give you an encouraging word. You will probably have no problem finding churches that will allow you to do the movie theater. No problem. Because there are still some dysfunctional parents out there that were like me. And it's not until they burn out that they realize they did it wrong. I want to make a commitment to you. I am not about people in this family burning out, just like I'm not about mine. I don't believe in burnout. I don't believe in allowing you to burn out. I also don't believe in allowing you to sit in your chair, to walk in and walk out and do absolutely nothing in the family just to be a taker instead of to be a giver and miss the blessing of having God flow through you to bless the body. Those days in my life are gone. I'd like you to pray through the rest of the list. I'm going to finish it off next week. Thank you for all of you who had great advice about my precious witch after the fact. Go ahead. Just say it right there.
I realize that the children's ministries are not on there this year because of all the regulatory changes that have come about, but we do think that we are going to be able to offer children's ministries this year, so I would ask that you pray into that. One of the other things that the Lord has put on my heart to do is to start some midweek programming for kids, particularly a boys' club for our pre-teen aged boys. And so very specifically, I'm looking for men to work with our young sons here. And you can talk to me about what that would look like. Again, not an overly large commitment, but I believe that that boys need to be mentored by men. And we have a very special group of young fellows, and they are at a point now where we can really minister to them and equip them before the hormones kick in and things shift for them. So it's a very strategic time in their lives, and the Lord's brought that to my attention. So I'd ask, especially you men, to be in prayer about whether the Lord would have you involved with them.
So when James says it's not a big commitment, it's a one-chair commitment. That's all it is, one chair. Not heavy, but it is. And we're going to talk more about that. That's on the bottom of my list, the kids' ministry, all the change part. Any questions about anything I shared today? Teach? Yep, we're going to talk about that. Because and there's a number of guys who are trucking, a number of guys who work up north, like Gord works up north, gone for how long a period of time, coming back again. Believe me, God's smart enough to find a way to allow you to be used in the family. And can I just say, I do think that when Gord comes home, that he kind of makes up for some of what wasn't done when you were gone. Would I agree? Oh, yeah. I heard a definite amen. So that's a great question, and we'll talk more into that. Somebody else had a question back here? Harold? Could we have the ushers take him out? Could we? Yes. He just asked if I could change his pressure switch. If I come to your house, I'm going to change something else, Harold. I'm going to do that. Judy? Yeah, I prayed through that because there's a number of ministries. We'll talk about Kids Church too. Right at this point, we are going to present the ministries that are active and alive and need people to be functioning in them. As ministries open up again, then we will approach that. God's already looked after that. Already laid upon people's hearts. We're going to do that. So as they come, then we'll make those known. All I'm going to do is address the ones that we are able to function in now in the midst of this agenda. Dean. Yeah, so that's a great question. So he was asking, the 80-20 in our home, you know, I took responsibility and empowered that, but didn't Jane also empower that by allowing me to do that? Yeah, let me tell you, part of the catalyst for changing that was Jane began to squeak. And should have squeaked a lot sooner. Getting to the point where I walk out the door with the kids and gone all day long, and she's left holding the entire bag. You do that for a period of time, but you eventually get to a point where you go, "This something's not right here." And as she began to say, it took me a little while to begin to hear. But if she'd have never said, I'd have probably remained as dysfunctional there and as dysfunctional here. So it's really true. We were both at that place. But I would say she began getting a little healthier first, and then I had to kind of catch up later, and we had to change things in our home, and then the Holy Spirit transferred over here. So can I just say to some of you wives, if your men are irresponsible and you're over, just start squeaking. Just start squeaking. To say nothing, is not healthy. And it's the other way around too. Men, if your wives are doing something, okay, that is not healthy and you're saying nothing, you start squeaking. Jane is God's sandpaper in my life. I am God's sandpaper in Jane's life. As we hear one another, we become more Christ-like. We become healthier. We're where we are today because we didn't remain silent, but because we made it known. I'm a better man because she squeaked. I'm a better pastor because she squeaked. I didn't say oink. I said squeak. Any other questions? It's a great point, Dean. It's not just one. It's both. And believe me, God does the healing. He does that. Colleen. It's really true. So when Iona, I gave her the five chairs and she only picked up the one. Right? She's being a smart aleck. And you're going, you couldn't. Right, and you couldn't. Okay, and there are some people that just can't. They just can't. And when they can't, then they do what they can. But it's really funny that there are some people who could pull up the entire five and have no problem holding it, and they have none. You look at them spiritually, they don't have a single chair in their hand. That's the bigger issue. And there are some people who shouldn't be carrying five, and they do until they can't carry five, and so then they just keep doing what they can do. But let me tell you what burnout does. Burnout makes you over-responsible until all of a sudden you're burned out and you become totally irresponsible. You can't do a single thing. Hard to get out of bed in the morning. Some of you been there, burnout. Some of you been there. It's a great point. That was my first thought too. When she picked up the one, it was like, wow, that's healthy. And she's going to leave the other four, and she'll leave the other four undone. Believe me, you'll see this in pastors. When pastors are getting healthy, they'll stop doing everything the body should do, and all of a sudden they'll come in and the floor is dirty, and people go, why is the floor dirty? Or they'll leave the chairs all messed up, and they walk in and go, why are the chairs messed up? Well, because the pastor's starting to get healthier. He's not doing everything that everybody else should be doing. Sometimes you need to have the consequence of a dirty toilet from the last time you went. Ooh, the magic fairy didn't come and clean the toilet. What? What? Question over here. Yeah, Jane. Oh, totally. So in any area of ministry, we've had that with the healing room ministry. We'll talk about that one. There's people who came to the healing room ministry because what they wanted to do is learn how to hear the voice of God. They came, took the training, never entered the ministry, but they walk out and go, holy smokes, I have learned to hear the voice of God in a way I never would have otherwise. Absolutely. And there's other people who actually took the training going, whew, I'll never do the healing ministry, I'll do that. But partway through, God got hold of them and they went, oh, I think I could do this. And they entered in, and they're still part of the healing room ministry. So it works both ways. Yep, great question. Anything else? Would you bow with me? Word of prayer. Father, oh, I thank you again that you are not a dysfunctional dad. I thank you that you raised up a son who very clearly in Scripture laid out that said every part of the body, when it does its part functioning, that is when the body is mature and is able to accomplish the purpose for which the body was created. God, thank you for painting a picture. We ask for your wisdom to impart that in our life, in our church family, in our physical families. Father, we do not want to be dysfunctional. We do not want to be robbed of the blessing. We do not want to be over-responsible. We want to be spirit-led. We want to be healthy. And I thank you that in this place you have imparted a spirit of 100-100. Every member doing its part. I ask, Holy Spirit, over this next few weeks, as we wait upon you for your guidance, your leading, your direction, I ask you to speak with clarity. I ask that you would direct, you would say no in those areas you don't want us to be, and you would flash a light or put a question mark beside those you're wanting us to explore and step into. Give us teachable spirits to learn what we have never known before. Remove the fear because you go with us. I thank you and I prophetically declare that the family of Solid Rock is a healthy, functioning body of Christ. I declare that we are a 100-100 family for the glory of your name. I declare to you what you already know. The Lord has blessed you, and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you, and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and filled you full of his peace in these days. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will see you at the back door. I'm going to make every effort not to hug you.